They tell me in the UK, Andrew Cotter is one of the most recognizable voices in sports broadcasting. If you like to be entertained by dogs and cats and things, especially in COVID time on Twitter and YouTube and so on, then you've seen his Olive and Mabel. The story of Olive and Mabel now, apparently in book form, coming out. And Andrew Cotter is on the line. Good morning, Andrew.
Hello, Andrew. I'm already confused by our incredibly close names. So you're Carter, I'm Cotter. That's all we need to know. How are you?
You know, I love the cadence of your voice, and that's what first attracted me to that wonderful initial video that I saw of your two dogs when you were doing the play-by-play of them eating.
I think that one was a dog's breakfast, basically.
A dog's breakfast. Was that the video that got you going down this road?
It was. That was so that happened at the start of, it was at the end of March. Sort of all my work had started to go, the whole year's work had started to go during March. Everything was being cancelled. You know, big rugby tournaments, the Olympics, Wimbledon, the Masters, whatever it might be, it all went. And so I was kind of bereft and feeling a bit sorry for myself, but trying to laugh at myself in the situation as well, because everybody was in that strange situation at the time with work and not really knowing what the future held. So yeah, I just put out, decided to commentate on my dogs. Said, look, I've got nothing else to do. Here I am commentating on my dogs. And that dog's breakfast video, which was just them eating their breakfast and me talking nonsense, that went, it immediately went into the millions of retweets and whatever it might be. It just went right out there. And I was taken aback by it. And then the second one, which followed a few weeks later because of pressure, and I bowed to the pressure of people to deliver another one. That was the one where they were fighting over a bone, and that one went twice as, I mean, on Twitter now, that one's had over 20 million views. So it's, the whole thing's been very strange. It's just gone on and on over the weeks and months of this odd year.
So when it takes on a life of its own like that, there with 20 million views, I mean, there must be some, you do get
you
money for that.
Not on Twitter, you don't.
No.
I mean, I could go into the very sad and sorry tale of YouTube and me missing a huge amount of money on that, but let's not bother. No, Twitter, you don't get any money. You just get sort of a widespread recognition and acclaim, which is all I was looking for. No, it's YouTube is kind of the Wild West, and people just steal your videos and put them up there and make money from them. And eventually, you know, you get monetized. But I kind of didn't want to do, genuinely, and this sounds like a total lie, bearing in mind I've had no work for the past year, I didn't really want it to be about making money from my dogs. I wanted it to be about having fun and just having a laugh and trying to come up with funny little situations, you know, like the Zoom meeting as we went on, and put them in human situations and just create something funny. That was the idea behind it. It hasn't been a little cottage industry of making money at all. A book came about because of it, and I just kept on having fun making the videos, and people seemed to be enjoying them as well.
Olive, Mabel, and Me, the story of Olive and Mabel, Labrador retrievers who rose to internet fame, is the subject of Andrew Cotter's BBC Sports Parodies, is out December 1st. And so tell me about the book. How do you translate this into a book?
Exactly, Andrew. That was the great fear for me. How do you translate what is a very audiovisual humor into book form? And the answer is you don't. But what you do is you try and write in a lighthearted, funny, and sometimes serious way. But it's all about observations about my relationship, my love for Olive and Mabel, and dogs I've had throughout my life. But then you branch out into, you find yourself writing about all aspects of life, because dogs wrap themselves around all parts of your life. You're never without them. So it's a little bit about life and career and the highs and lows, and as I say, just the sort of fun of and strange things of owning dogs. And so I think any dog owner can relate to it. And a lot of it as well, because I've been writing it throughout this year, where we've all been on this this roller coaster, the corona coaster, whatever you want to call it, the highs and lows, and real mental strain at times. When you're writing it in those moods, it contains a bit of, not sadness, but a sort of melancholy, a need for escape. And that's why I write a lot about the mountains, where I'm often to be found in normal times with Olive and Mabel. It's a bit nostalgic. It's a bit of an escape into the mountains. It's an escape into the weird and wonderful and very necessary during this year world of dogs.
What do you broadcast normally? What sports are your specialties?
So I do. I mean, I started off doing golf and rugby, and then it's branched out a few years ago into tennis and athletics. And I do basically for the BBC now. I mean, I'm a freelancer, so I'll work for anybody, and that's my pitch there for you. But I'm mostly BBC, but I do major events for them now as well. So an opening ceremony at the Olympics, I'd be doing that and calling, 205 countries into the stadium and upsetting people as I get things wrong. But that's what I do at Wimbledon final, whatever it might be. So this year was going to be a big, big year. I mean, all years are kind of big in sport.
Right.
Some years bigger than others when you've got the Olympics or whatever it might be. Everybody in our industry seems to work, 90% of people work on a freelance basis. So whoever it might be, the lighting people, the floor managers, sound guys, whatever it might be, they've all had their years decimated. So I don't know what it's like over in Canada, but over here it's been horrendous in terms of the media and the arts and events and whatever it might be. All events seem to have gone. And when people work in that industry on a freelance basis, a self-employed basis, it's pretty hard going for a lot of people. So I've been happy not just to have my dogs for the sake of having the dogs anyway, as therapy around the house, but I've been happy to have them because I've been able to make these videos or write this book. It's been something to focus my mind. They've got no clue, of course, bless their little furry hearts. But
Which,
that's why dogs are so great this year anyway,
yeah.
because they have no clue what's going on.
And you don't have to share the money with them. I remember years ago I had a very lucrative dog food endorsement, and I did not share a cent with my golden retriever.
Yeah, but well, unfortunately, Olive has a really, really good agent, so she is getting something. Mabel tries to do things herself, and she's a terrible negotiator, so she's getting nothing. But well, on that line, we've had so many offers to become dog owner influencers
Oh,
and
really?
advertise dog food and
And?
advertise dog collars and dog calendars. And I've said no to all of them because I didn't want to, as I said, I didn't want to sort of have my Olive and Mabel. Part of the charm of the videos is that there's something innocent and there's something separate from the rest of the world, the hard human world. So I didn't want to, although I put them into the human situation in terms of online dating or Zoom meetings or building flat pack furniture, I didn't want to be endorsing products with them because I didn't want people to say, "Oh, I see what's happened now. He's turning them into a cold, hard business." Even though I tell you what, I've thought about it at times when my bank manager's been calling, but it's just not something I've wanted to do.
I would imagine this is good for your career in general, your main job. It keeps you in the public
Is
eye.
it?
You think?
Is
No?
it? My theory on that is that now any time I go to a sporting event and they're starting slowly again, I mean, I'm commentating on the Masters coming up shortly, and every time I go, do you see people in that? They go, "Hey, duck guy, how are you?
Oh, yeah.
Hey."
Are you actually going to Augusta, or do you do that remotely?
No, that's all the events that we're doing now for the near future are being done from BBC studios. You're just commentating off a monitor because travel to these places, and it's the travel to these places, not the traveling, but it's the being in these places and at these events. That's the real fun and enjoyment of doing this job. Being inside the stadium with 60,000-80,000 people roaring on, or going
Right.
to Augusta, or going to being a centre court at Wimbledon, whatever it might be. It's being there in those moments. Whereas what we're doing now is a very sterile form of sports commentary, whereby you're sitting in front of a monitor, and also at the event themselves, there are no spectators. So it's sport kind of without the joy and the excitement and the noise and the color. But at least it's something, and it's something to cause a bit of a diversion and a distraction, because that's what sport is.
Well, you've given me a lot of joy with your videos. Can you just do one more thing for me? I've just finished Amen Corner at Augusta. I'm playing in the Masters, Andrew Carter, the Cinderella story. Would you do that as that play-by-play for me, as walk me through?
So Andrew Carter then through Amen Corner, now standing on the 14th tee, 17 over par in this first round, a very disappointing debut. And many expected, well, no, nobody expected better from him. People were surprised that he even got an invitation to play, but I think he wrote it himself, or his dog wrote it and sent it out with a little paw print. But here he is on the 14th tee. Security are coming to throw him out. Let's see if he can get this drive away. And he snap hooked it. So Andrew Carter, get off the course.
You are absolutely fantastic. I wish you all the best of luck with your book, and I hope things get back to normal for you, Andrew. It's a pleasure to meet you.
Andrew, thank you very much indeed.
That is Andrew Carter, Olive, Mabel, and Me, the story of Olive and Mabel, Labrador retrievers who rose to internet fame as the subjects of his hilarious videos.